This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulhi al-Kareem, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa man tabi'a sunnatuhu ila yawmiddin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome again, and we start by praising Allah and sending blessings upon His final Prophet, the Prophet Muhammad, and we welcome you with the greetings of Islam, greetings of peace. Welcome again to another episode of your weekly Islamic chat show, Guest of the Week. And today our guest is, again, who came on one of our previous shows, Brother Mansour Danish. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mansour.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thanks for joining us again.
Barakallahu feekum.
Now, today, what we really want to focus on today's episode is the prophets. Who are the prophets? Did each prophet come with a different... We often hear this statement that Abraham and Moses were Jews and Jesus was a Christian and Muhammad was a Muslim. Mm-hmm. So, did they come with different messages or did they come with one message? Maybe you could shed some light on that for us.
Okay. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala ashrafil anbiya mursaleen, nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'un bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. I welcome all the viewers with the Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallahu khairan for once again inviting me over to your show. And inshallah ta'ala, we will take up the issue of whether Abraham, peace be upon him, was a Jew, or Moses, peace be upon him, was a Jew. But before that, let me clarify a very common misconception which we find amongst many non-Muslims. There's a common misconception amongst many non-Muslims that Islam is a new religion which was founded 1400 years ago by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Let me state this statement of fact to you, that Islam is there from time immemorial. It is there from the time the first man set foot on the earth. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he is not the founder of the religion, but he was the last and final messenger of Allah, on whom was revealed the last and final revelation, the glorious Quran. The previous prophets who came before Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, their entire message was only meant for a group of people and for a definite time period. However, the message of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, since he is the last and final messenger and no other messengers is to come after him, his message is meant till eternity.
So and it's a universal message for the whole of mankind.
It's a universal message. It's for the whole of humankind. The message of the Quran... It's another common misconception amongst the non-Muslims as well as the Muslim that the Quran is the holy book of the Muslims. The Quran is the holy book for the entire humanity. There are several places in the Quran where Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, which means Allah is referring to the entire mankind, not only to the Muslims. And there's a verse in the Quran in Surah Fatir, Surah number 35, ayah number 24, where Allah Ta'ala says, Wa im min ummatin illa khilafahan nazir. Which means, and there was no nation in the past, except that there was a warner which lived among them. So prophets and messengers were sent to the entire nation. Every nation in the past have had warner or messengers who have stayed with them. But by name, Islam, there is an authentic hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ that there were a total of 1,24,000 messengers who were sent on the face of the earth. But by name in the Quran, we only have name of 25 messengers. And of those 25 messengers, we have the first man who set foot on the earth, Adam, peace be upon him. He was one of the prophets of Islam. We have Moses, Noah, Ibrahim, Ishmael, Ishaq, Noah, Moses, Isa, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah be pleased with all of his messengers. So these were all prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like I said before, the message of each of these prophets was to call upon the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And that reminds me of there's a hadith, a saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Salam. Where he said, Al-anbiya ikhwatun li'illatin, ummahatuhum shatta, wa deenuhum wahid. That all of the prophets are brothers. Their mothers are different, yeah. but their religion, their way of life yes. is exactly the same.
Absolutely. In fact, you made a mentioning of many people having the misconception that Abraham, peace be upon him, was a Jew. Moses, peace be upon him, was a Jew. Jesus Christ is a Christian and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a Muslim. However, Allah Ta'ala very emphatically states in the Quran that Abraham, peace be upon him, was someone who submitted his will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a Hanif. He did not worship anyone besides Allah Ta'ala. He was a Muslim.
And he goes on to say, Hanif and Muslim and wama kana min al-mushrikeen, that he was someone who worshipped only Allah, and he was a Muslim, one
he
who submits to Allah,
Absolutely.
And he was not of those who,
exactly.
the polytheists,
Absolutely.
The ones who worship idols. Absolutely.
In fact, it's important for people to know, and especially a non-Muslim audience, that what does Muslim mean? Because many people have this misconception. They don't know what Muslim means. They feel that Muslim means a group of people who stay in a part of Arabia.
Or it's like an ethnic...
like Judaism, a tribe.
Something.
You know, Judaism comes from the tribe of Judah. Whereas Islam means acquiring peace by submitting your will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the person who does this act of acquiring peace by submitting his will to Allah, we call him in Arabic Muslim. So any person who's submitting his own desires to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's a Muslim. And by this definition, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was a Muslim. Abraham was a Muslim, Moses was a Muslim, Noah was a Muslim, Solomon was a Muslim, David was a Muslim, Lut was a Muslim, Adam was a Muslim. All the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were Muslim. May Allah be pleased with all of them.
Now, the Quran,
yes,
the final revelation to mankind. Does the Quran, or what does the Quran say about other scriptures? Because that's another thing that people will be very surprised, mm-hmm. that the Quran talks about other scriptures. It talks about Jesus, peace be upon him. In fact, it talks about many aspects of Jesus' life and birth, etc., mm-hmm. and his mother Maryam, Mary, mm-hmm. in so much more detail than even the Bible. I mean, we have a whole chapter called Maryam,
yes.
Mary,
yes.
and it obviously it's and we hear Jesus tens, I believe it's around over 20 times mentioned in the Quran,
yes.
and the same with Moses.
Moses, peace be upon him.
The Prophet Muhammad even said, I thought this whole Quran would be about Moses, peace
yes.
be upon him.
Yes.
So what does the Quran say about these other scriptures?
Yes.
Do we consider them to be the word of God?
Yes.
Or do we consider them to be that they used to be the word of God? How does Islam
right.
look at them?
Right. You see, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلِكُلِّ أَجْلٍ كِتَابٍ, that in every age have we revealed a book. So we know that there were divinely revealed books from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before the Quran came, there were divinely revealed books. However, we know historically, none of those books have been preserved in its pure pristine form. We are aware, and we would not be able to get into that discussion at this point of time, that there have been several editions and versions of the Bible which have come out. For example, the Roman Catholic have 73 books and the Protestant have 66 books. Without getting into deep details, here itself the Word of God has 7 books differing amongst each other. So coming back to the point of the Quran talking of other scriptures, yes, the Quran does mention that there were books revealed to different messengers. For example, Allah Ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Imran, Surah number 3, Ayah number 88, Allah says, whatever I give you of the scripture and wisdom, then there comes to you a messenger confirming what is with you, you believe in him and support him. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned that whatever I give you of the scripture, here Allah Ta'ala is talking about a divinely revealed scripture. And Allah also mentioned in Surah Hadid, Surah number 57, Ayah number 25, Allah says, we have already sent our messengers with clear evidences and sent down with them scriptures and balances that they may be able to attain justice. So Allah mentions that messengers have been sent in the past with scriptures and with the balance so that they are able to attain justice. So as far as the scriptures are concerned, yes, there were scriptures revealed. Now let us look into the names of the scriptures which are there in the Quran. The scripture which was revealed to Ibrahim and Musa alayhi salam, there's a verse in the Quran Allah Ta'ala mentions in Surah Najm, Surah number 53, Ayah number 36, Allah says, or has he not been informed of what was in the scripture of Moses and of Ibrahim who has fulfilled his obligation? So Allah Ta'ala here is referring to the scriptures which was revealed to Moses as well as the scriptures which was revealed to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who was by the way regarded as the friend of Allah Ta'ala. And we also have this clear verse in the Quran in Surah Maida, ayah number 44, where Allah says, referring to just the Torah, Allah says, indeed we send down the Torah in which there is guidance. So the book that was revealed to Moses, peace be upon him, was the Torah. And that is mentioned by name in the Quran. However, the Torah that the Christians say is part of their book, the Old Testament, that they say there are portions of Torah, we don't know whether they were the word of God or not. We know that there was a scripture which was revealed to Moses. We know there was an Injil which was revealed to Isa alayhi salam. Allah mentions in the Quran regarding that. And we sent, following in their footsteps, Jesus, the son of Mary, confirming that which came before him in Torah. And we gave him the gospel, or we gave him the Injil. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was given an Injil. However, the Christians, what they have today is not the Injil that Allah is referring to in the Quran. The Injil in the Quran is the Injil or the Wahi which was given to Isa alayhi salam. Whereas what we have today is Injil Lucas, Injil Matthew, Injil Yohanna. So these are not the Injil that we Muslims believe in. And as far as Zabur, which is the revelation which was given to Dawood alayhi salam, Allah says in Surah Nisa, ayah number 116, and to Dawood we revealed the Zabur.
So, which you could translate as the Psalms.
And as the Psalms which is there in the Bible, yes. But again, it translated as the Psalms, but not the Psalms which is there in the Bible today. Yeah, so we need to be very clear, because many people, they say that, oh, we believe in the scriptures of the Christians. We believe in the scripture which was revealed to not the Christians, but to Jesus Christ.
I mean, what's very interesting, since we're on the topic of the Injil or the Gospel of Jesus, what's very interesting is the historical fact that we see from such events like the Council of Nicaea, where the Roman Emperor Constantine, however you like to pronounce it, he called his council of clergymen and put in front of them 56, I believe it was, Gospels. Mm-hmm. And eventually, he chose,
which has to be there and which has to remain,
he chose about four of them, yes, and burnt 52. And right, we find that many of those were actual recordings of the disciples of Jesus, yes, his actual teachings, and they were all burnt. And yes, then we were kept with the New Testament, which, as we know, yes, has so much, unconfirmed and inaccurate information.
Right.
That even the I recently read an article that the top clergymen from all denominations of Christianity actually say now, mm-hmm, that we used to think that the Luke, Mark, Matthew, and John were disciples, but now we admit that we have, yes, no idea who they were.
Yes,
we have no idea who they,
yes,
were.
In fact, if you see the books, the author of the books in the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, it mentions Gospel of Matthew, author unknown. Gospel of Luke, author unknown. It's a Gospel of Matthew, but the author is unknown. Gospel of Mark, author unknown. Gospel of John, author unknown. So the authors are unknown of these scriptures. And by the way, one more important point which I would like to mention over here is that when you mention about the council which met at Nicaea, there was a Nicene Creed which was adopted. And this Nicene Creed is the concept of Trinity. Because what happened was, it was in this particular council meeting which took place in the 325th Christian era.
I'm going to have to hold you there on,
sure,
this point.
Sure,
we'll just go for a break. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. Now, Brother Mansour, just before we went to the break, yes, we just touched upon the Council of Nicaea and, yes, the fact that they'd taken 56 Gospels or writings and burnt 52 of them, and it was the Roman Emperor who actually never accepted Christianity, because we find, yes, that he was building churches and temples to work until he died. One side he would build churches, on the other side he would build temples to his ancestors. So we know that he burnt, and he ultimately chose which books, with a few of those yes sir, no sir kind of priests that were there. And then we know that, as you mentioned, that the Nicene Creed, or what's also called the Pauline Christianity, sprung up as the official creed.
Yes, yes. What happened was, in the 325th Christian era, that is when the Council of People met, and they adopted the Nicene Creed. Now, what is the Nicene Creed? The Nicene Creed is the very famous concept of Trinity. Now, what happened was, there were a group of Christians who were very strong in the belief of the Unitarian concept. They believed that there is only one God. And they did believe that Jesus Christ was a messenger of God. And they were meeting for the messenger to come. another weighted messenger.
I believe they even called them the people. They called them the Nazareth followers of Jesus.
Yes. So now, what happened at this point was that the Trinitarian concept was adopted, and the Unitarian concept was let go of. And bishops like Bishop Arius, who was of the Unitarian concept, these people and his followers, they were literally burnt at stake. Their followers were tortured. And the concept of Trinitarian was forced down the people.
I mean, he himself was exiled to Egypt, wasn't he?
Yes. So, but these kind of things had taken place at that point of time. Of course, that's why we say that coming back to the issue of the Bible. So, the Bible that we are seeing today is not the Injil that was revealed to Isa alayhi salam. However, I have a book back at my home, a Bible which is in Urdu, and on top of it, it's written Injil. But that's not the Injil. Okay, we have a book which has Injil written on it, but that's not the Injil. Yeah.
Okay, now, the other prophets.
Yeah.
We mentioned some of them. Let's focus on the main ones, like Abraham, Moses, Jesus, peace be upon them all. Now, we mentioned that they all came with Islam.
Right.
But let's talk a bit about these prophets individually and what they called to, and just a bit about them for the viewers.
Okay. First of all, like we mentioned, that they were all Muslims. So as far as the Iman was concerned, as far as the Aqidah was concerned, this was absolutely correct. What they called people to was Tawheed. Tawheed means worshipping one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without associating any partners unto Him. This was their main call. This was the foundation on the basis of which their teachings revolved.
And that's a very interesting point before you go on,
yeah.
Is that that's what we always try to stress, that from day one, the salvation or the way for salvation was the worshipping of one God alone and following His commands. And we don't believe that, you know, for tens and hundreds and thousands of years and prophet after prophet, they said one God, don't worship idols, one God, one God. We do not believe that logically that all of a sudden that this was, that Jesus came up with this
new concept,
that God has all of a sudden one but has now, for lack of better words, become three.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, and I've heard the statement many times that this needed to happen so the people could receive salvation. So the question that one should always pose is, how did the followers of Abraham and how did the followers of Moses, how did they receive salvation?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is, and anyone will tell you this, they will say to you, they believed in the Lord and they followed the commands and they repented, so they were saved.
Right.
So, okay. So then in that case, that's all that Jesus needed to do. And just like Muhammad, peace be upon him, did. So that argument of he had to come and take on this Son, Father, Holy Ghost scenario because people said they could become saved, but they were already being saved in the past by following the prophets and submitting to God.
Absolutely. In fact, the concept of salvation was totally on the basis of the Tawheed, that you worship on Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, in Surah Nisa, Surah number 4, Ayah number 48, and Surah Nisa, Surah number 4, Ayah number 116, Allah says that if Allah wills, He can forgive all your sins, except one sin. And that is associating partners unto Allah Ta'ala. In the sight of Allah, one sin which is not going to be forgiven on any count is that you associate partners unto Allah Ta'ala. You do not worship Allah, but you worship someone else. Or you worship Allah, but along with that, you associate partners unto Allah Ta'ala. That is one sin which is unforgivable. And as far as the concept of salvation in itself is concerned, the concept of salvation which we find in Christianity, that we are all born as sinners because Prophet Adam, he ate apple, according to the Christian belief, he ate apple, and so we are all born as sinners and Jesus Christ has to come and die for our sins.
What's very interesting about that point is even with this, you find that this whole concept of the original sin.
Yes.
I forgot his name now, which particular saint it was.
Mm-hmm.
It slipped my mind for now. But this particular, he was classed, it was Saint Augustine, I believe. Now, this whole story of how the original sin, he was the first to come with the original sin around, I think, 340, 350 years. Even after the Council of Nicaea.
Yeah.
And he was a man who had a lot of frivolous, promiscuous relationships. So he was a Casanova, as they say. And he always was famous for saying to God, "Oh God, guide me, but not yet," because he wanted to have a few more women. So when he actually did finally repent as such and leave this life of promiscuous, you know, with all the women, he then basically you know, you could say out of a guilt, why was I like this? Why was I so into the women? He tried to think of why are men so interested in women and why are they always looking in that side of things. So he said it must be because of the, you know, the sin that Adam committed. We were all born with sin. We were all born with some evil in us. So he was the one who just thought up this, you know, concept of original sin.
Yeah. And the Bible clearly says that the sin of the father shall not be upon the son. So everyone shall be, you know, accountable for their own deeds. And this verse is also repeated in the Quran, where Allah Ta'ala says that no bearer of burden shall bear the burden of someone else's soul. So this was the message. Whereas what we see among in the salvation concept is that someone else does a mistake and I'm answerable for that. Because Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, never came to me and he sought my permission before eating the forbidden fruit. Had he asked my permission, I would have said, don't do that. So that's why the concept in itself is not logical. But coming back to the message of the prophets in the Quran, we have the concept of the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where Allah Ta'ala mentions in Surah Nahl ayah number 120, he says, verily Ibrahim was an ummah or a nation obedient to Allah and he was a hanif, the ayah which we started off with, and that he was not of those who was al-mushrikun or disbelievers in the oneness of Allah. That was the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said, Allah says in Surah An-Kabut, ayah number 16 and 17, remember when Ibrahim said to his people, when he went to Mesopotamia, when he said to his people, worship Allah and fear Him alone. That is better for you if you only knew it. This was the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he goes on to say, you worship besides Allah only idols, and they are only leading you to falsehood. For verily, those whom you worship besides Allah have no power to give you. And that was the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is
and of
towards
course,
Allah.
You know, that reminds one of the famous incident of the Prophet Ibrahim, Abraham, peace be upon him, that he's, as we know, that his father was the head idol. Maker, if you like.
Yes.
And we know the story of how when they went to one of their celebrations and Abraham stayed behind, that he took an axe and
broke down the idols
except the main idol and left the axe in the main idol's arms.
Yeah.
And obviously when the people came back and they were suspicious that this particular boy, he's always talking about these idols and he's always making some kind of comments about why we worship them. It must be him.
Yeah.
And obviously we know that when they called him, he said, ask the main idol.
He's got the axe.
And they said to him, funny enough, come on, he can't do anything. He's just an idol.
He can't even talk.
That is the whole point. Yeah. How can you turn your worship to an idol?
Yes.
How can you take milk to an idol? How can you take food to an idol?
Sure.
Or even not an idol, how can you give food? As we see some people, they give food to animals which they look at as gods.
Yes.
But that same, for example, rat.
Yes.
If you don't cover the roof of the temple, in comes the bird of prey and takes away the rat.
Yeah.
So here we have a god being taken by another animal and being killed. So, you know, this, as you mentioned, this was the message, you know, that there is only one God.
Absolutely.
The only logical and rational.
Absolutely. And in fact, the people didn't even accept his argument. They knew that Ibrahim alayhi salam was up to some mischief. So they were ready to put him on fire. And we have that incident later on. But there's also the incident where Ibrahim alayhi salam is talking to his father about Tawheed. And this is mentioned in Surah Maryam, ayah number 42, where he does da'wah to his father. And that's a very important message for our viewers on how do we do da'wah to our family members. Because often we have people who overnight get the knowledge and now they want their families to change overnight. We have this incident where Ibrahim alayhi salam comes to his father and says, oh my father, why do you worship something that hears you not, sees you not, or can't even talk? And then he says, verily, oh my father, knowledge has come to me. Now this is a very important statement, because if you see, for a father, the most happiest day for him is when his son becomes a person of repute, a person of knowledge. Any father, he's very happy when he sees his son doing well. So here Ibrahim is knocking on that door of opportunity. He's saying, oh my father, knowledge has come to me which has not reached you. And he goes on to say that you leave this form of idol worship and come to the worship of one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam, not only to his father, but to the entire people to whom he was sent to, that you leave your idols and start worshipping Allah Ta'ala. That's as far as Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was concerned. And we have incidents of Musa alayhi salam as well, who was sent to at the time of Fir'aun. And we have the incidents where Firaun used to refer, call himself God. Firaun used to think of himself as a larger figure,
so this
larger
is,
than
this
life.
This is obviously here referring to Firaun, where, as in the Pharaoh of Egypt.
Yes, the Pharaoh of Egypt. And Allah Ta'ala mentions in Surah Ibrahim, ayah number 5, Allah says, "And indeed we sent Musa with our signs. Bring out your people from darkness into light and remind them of the annals of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." The message that Allah Ta'ala had given to Moses was to bring people out of darkness. Yet we have the incidents where the people refused him. People would reject him. And we also are aware in the history that Moses was sent along with his brother Harun, or Aaron in the Bible, who accompanied him in his Dawah mission. And we have this incidents where after they crossed over the Red Sea, and we have the incidents where some of the people of Pharaoh were drowned, whereas some of the children of Israel, they were able to cross through with Moses, peace be upon him. And then while they're going down, they come across a group of people who were worshipping an idol. So the children of Israel turn to Moses and they say, "We also would like to worship an idol. Give us an idol." And this is where Moses, peace be upon him, says, he says, "Verily you are a people who know not." And this is mentioned in Surah Araf. "Verily, these people will be destroyed for what they are doing." They will be destroyed for what they are doing. They are worshipping idols. Shall I seek for you any other God other than Allah Ta'ala? Why shall I seek another God? And after showing you all the signs, after inviting you to the way of Allah. So these were the people who were an arrogant set of people. After all the signs, all the miracles which Allah did through Moses, peace be upon him, they would not accept. This was the call of Moses, peace be upon him. As far as Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is concerned, and you know about him, we can go on and on. Like you were mentioning, more than 20 times he's mentioned in the Quran. He's mentioned 25 times in the Quran. So, and like Shaykh Ahmad Idad rahimahullah would say, he's mentioned 500% more times than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, as far as the call of Isa alayhi salam is concerned, it's mentioned in Surah Maida, ayah number 72. Allah says, "Laqad qafra allazina kalu, inna Allah huwa al-Masih ibn Maryam. Wa qala al-Masih, ya bani Israel, O children of Israel, la'budu Allah, worship none but Allah, Rabbi wa Rabbakum, who's my Lord and your Lord. Innahu man yushrik billah, and anyone who associate partners unto Allah, faqad harram Allahu alayhi al-Jannah. Allah will make Jannat haram for him. وَمَا وَحُّ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلْزَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنْصَارِ Fire of hell shall be there, eternal place, and for the wrongdoers there shall be no helpers. Jesus Christ's main message was, worship your Lord, who is my Lord and your Lord. Which means Jesus Christ was also a human being. Yes, he was a prophet, but he was a human being like anyone else. And this message is also repeated in the Bible where Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, when he is asked about the first commandment, he repeats what Moses, peace be upon him, had told his people. Shama Israelo, adna ilahayna adna ikhad. Hear, O Israel, O children of Israel, your Lord, the God, is one God.
We'll hold that point there. Sure. Again, it's time for another break. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum, welcome back. My brother Mansour, before we enter the break, we are talking about the message of Jesus, peace be upon him, and that his message was always worship my Lord and your Lord. And you quoted some scripture in Hebrew. Yes. If you could, maybe we could leave off from there.
Yes, we were quoting regarding worshipping Allah Ta'ala, who is the Lord of Jesus Christ as well as the Lord of the entire humanity. And giving you some more references from the Quran regarding the message of Jesus Christ. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Imran, Surah number 3, ayah number 49 to 51, Allah says, "And we will make Jesus a messenger to the children of Israel. And then Jesus will go and say to the people, I have come to you with a sign from your Lord. And what was the sign? That I designed for you out of a clay, a figure like that of a bird, and breathe into it, and it becomes a bird by Allah's permission." So we do believe, in fact, this is a statement of fact which all Christians should know, that Islam is the only non-Christian faith which makes it an article of faith to believe in Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. We Muslims believe in Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, as being one of the mightiest messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the Most High. We believe that Jesus was the Christ, translated Messiah. We believe that he healed those born blind and lepers by Allah's permission, which is mentioned in the verse which I just read to you. And that he cured those who were born blind and leopard, and he gave life to the dead by Allah's permission. We believe in all the miracles that Jesus, peace be upon him, did with the permission of Allah Ta'ala. And then Allah Ta'ala goes on to say that truly Jesus Christ will say to the people, truly Allah is my Rabb, Allah is my Lord and your Lord. So worship him. This is the straight path. All the messengers were calling people to the straight path. Whether it was Ibrahim, peace be upon him, or whether it was Moses, or whether it was Jesus, they only spoke of the straight path. And we will come to the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam a little later on, where he too spoke of the straight path. So the message was unanimous that we have to worship one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone without associating any partners unto him. And this message is even repeated in the Christian Bible. In the words of Jesus Christ, there is something called a red letter Bible where all the words supposedly said by Jesus Christ is supposed to be in red. And Jesus Christ says in the Gospel of John chapter 14 verse number 28, he says, my Father is greater than I. Referring to someone else, he does not say that I am greater than anyone else. He says, my Father, my Lord, my Allah is greater than I. He says, Gospel of John chapter 10 verse 29, my Father is greater than all. Referring to someone else, the one who sent him. Then he goes on to say in Gospel of Matthew chapter 12 verse 28, I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. And then he says in Gospel of John chapter 5 verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. For I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Anyone who says, I seek not my will, but the will of my Lord, that is Islam. That is Muslim. Yeah.
I mean, and what you find is that we often hear the word father and son,
yes.
But we find that, you know, this is how it's been watered down and translated. If you go back into the original Aramaic languages, you know, you often find these terms that are now termed in modern English as father and son.
Yes.
In the original, they actually mean like master and servant.
Right.
That's what we find, that they're
right.
Not really... You know, but as they've been...
Yes, it is not the father-son relationship which we humans have. And it has been actually... This is where the problem started. The concept of Ab, the father. Whereas the concept was always of the master, the Rab. It was Rab which became Ab.
So. That's right. I mean, and there's so many words we know that have been watered down after this time. We know that if you go to the Hebrew Bible, and you probably know the verse where Jesus is supposed to have said that he will not, I will not leave thee until the Lord will send the Comforter.
Right.
And we know that if you go back even now on the Hebrew, and this can be found on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
Muhammad in the Bible,
yes,
in the Jewish Bible,
absolutely.
The word Muhammad is written there.
Right.
I think it's, they have very similar to the Arabic, like a mem ha. Mem
there. Yes.
So you find that the word Muhammad is still, yes, in the Hebrew Bible,
yes,
but what do we have in the English and the German and the other ones? It's translated as
altogether
the Comforter.
Yes, Comforter.
Somebody who will bring comfort.
Right. And in fact, Muhammad is also mentioned in the Song of Solomon, chapter number 5, verse number 16. The word Muhammad is there, like you said, in the Hebrew text, but it has got translated. So, for example, today you have me on my show, and my name is Mansoor, and Mansoor means victorious. Now,
to we'll call you Victor.
Yeah, you can say, you know, Mr. Victorious had come to my show. People will be wondering who's come on your show. So you can't translate proper nouns. Whereas we see that the translators, those who translated the text from the original language to English or to Greek, they did some mischief somewhere. And that's where the message was lost. Also, very important thing that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, did say about the coming of another messenger whose name shall be. Whose name is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You know, you're not fit to receive the message right now. I have many things to say, because he was a prophet of Allah. He had many things to say, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he shall guide you unto all truth. Now, I'd like to pause here for a moment. When Jesus says all truth, he means that this will be the truth message of eternity, till eternity, because it's all truth. And we know Allah says in Surah Maida, Surah number 5, ayah number 3, that today we have completed the favor upon you. The deen is complete. There can be no addition, no deletion, which means the eternal deen is Islam in its final form. And it was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here, yeah, Jesus Christ is saying that the Spirit of truth which will come, he shall guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself. He will have no mind of his own. He cannot come up with his own laws. Whatever he speaks will be a revelation from Allah Ta'ala. Whatever he shall hear, he shall speak. And we know the whole Quran is a revelation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And he shall let you know of things to come. He shall glorify me.
So we know in the Quran that Allah says that he does not speak of his own desires. In huwa illa wahyun yuha. Indeed, it is he speaks revelation that is revealed. Yes. Talking about the Prophet Muhammad, yes. That he does not speak from his own desires. Right. Rather,
it's a wahi. Whatever
he speaks is the revelation. Now, as we mentioned, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the last few minutes of the show, we want to talk a bit about a bit more about the call of the Prophet Muhammad, and how do we know that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, how do we know he was a prophet? How do we know that, you know, many people will say that he is a false prophet.
Right.
And people say that, you know, what makes him the prophet? So how can you advise people on how they can respond to such claims?
Firstly, as far as the call of Prophet Muhammad SAW is concerned, and we'll get into more detail of that a little later, this is the call of Prophet Muhammad SAW. The entire Quran is the call of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now coming back to how do we judge about his prophethood? Let us see what Allah Ta'ala has to say in the Quran about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says that ما كان محمدا أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما. That Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not the father of any of you men, but he is the messenger of Allah. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, and he is the last of the prophets. He is the seal of the prophets. There shall be no more prophets who will come after him. So Allah Ta'ala is testifying, giving us a guarantee. After Allah gives a guarantee, no question asked. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala also mentioned in Surah Nisa, Surah number 4, ayah number 113, Allah has sent down to you a book and al-hikmah, and he has taught you that which you knew not. And ever great is the grace of Allah unto you. Referring to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So like this, we have several verses in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala is talking about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Regarding the character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَزِيمٍ. That verily you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are in the highest standard of morals and character. So Allah Ta'ala is the creator of the best creation on the face of the earth, is praising him as the best in standard and character. This was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As far as his prophecies, we just mentioned that even Jesus Christ prophesies the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have other prophecies as well in the Old Testament and the Song of Solomon, which I also mentioned, where Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been mentioned. Now, one important thing that people should remember, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an ummi, an unlearned man. He didn't know how to read or write. He couldn't sign a checkbook like you and me can. He couldn't go and withdraw his salary by signing a check like you and me can. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an unlearned man, and that unlearned man is revealed this book of this size, the glorious Quran. This in itself is a miracle. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did many miracles. We have so many incidences from his life of miracles which he did with the will of Allah. But we Muslims boast of the ultimate miracle. The Quran was the ultimate miracle. We talk about his ultimate miracle. This is a proof that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as far as this call is concerned, we have several things. We were talking about the straight path. Allah mentions in Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Thee alone we worship. This is the call of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Thee alone we worship, thee alone we ask for help. Ihdina Surat Al-Mustaqim. Show us the straight path. Once again we hear the word straight path. So all the messengers called to the straight path, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was no different. He too called people to the straight path.
And that reminds me of a saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, where one time he was with his companions and he drew a line in the sand.
Yes.
And then he drew other lines, branches coming off of that line. And he said that this line is the straight path.
Yes.
Whereas all these other branches are deviations leading to the hellfire.
Sure.
So again, his emphasis was on the straight path. Now, in the last 3 or 4 minutes, what would you advise people and why should they look more into the life of the Prophet Muhammad? What can you advise them?
Yeah. Firstly, today in the kind of life that we are living in, we see a lot of propaganda happening, and we have this Islamophobia concept coming in where people are really scared of Islam and Muslims. What we say is, as Muslims, that if you want to judge any religion, you must judge it by its best follower. You should not judge it by those who are, you know, day-to-day followers making their own errors and mistakes. For example, if you want to judge a car, you judge it by its driver. Likewise, if you want to judge Islam, you have to judge it by looking into the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And that's why I strongly urge your viewers that they should go back and study the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Books like The Sealed Nectar, which is very comprehensive and talks about detailed aspect of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We must see his life, because from his life we are able to understand what his call was, what were the situations and circumstances he lived in. Did he use the sword to spread the religion, the common misconception that the people have, or was the sword used on him to bring him down? Because we know that the life in Makkah was a tough life. It was a liability to be a Muslim for the first 13 years. It was a liability because you would get punished. So we have to go back into the seerah of Rasulullah ﷺ and also understand that the message of Muhammad ﷺ is not only for the Arabs or not only for the Muslims living in India or subcontinent. Allah says in Surah Sabah, Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا, that we have not sent you, O Muhammad ﷺ, but as a messenger to the whole of mankind. Muhammad ﷺ has been sent as a messenger to the entire mankind. Muhammad ﷺ is not only for the Muslims. So everyone on the face of the earth has to follow the commandments of Muhammad ﷺ, which is the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Last thing which I would like to mention here is that the last point which I would like to end with, inshallah ta'ala, is that the Sharia which was brought by the previous messengers, like Abraham, Moses,
the
day-to-day laws, there is a concept of Tawheed, which is oneness of Allah, worshipping Allah, and then your day-to-day activities. The Sharia kept changing from prophets to prophet, whereas the basic concept of oneness of Allah never changed.
So we know, for example, very briefly before we end, we know that some prophets, they would say to pray twice a day, in the morning and the evening.
Yes.
Or that some of the prophets, they always would wash before the prayer, but the way that we Muslims wash was revealed in detail, different as the final law. Well, we've basically come to the conclusion out of another great show, and I thank you again, Brother Mansour, and inshallah we look forward to having you inshallah in some of our future episodes. And again, for the guests, we've heard that the message of all the prophets from the very first until the very end was always to worship God alone, to worship Almighty God Allah alone. And we've learnt and discussed here that it makes no sense that for tens of prophets that all of a sudden that this message changed with Jesus and God then became three in one and one and three in a way that nobody can explain. And we emphasized that the Prophet Muhammad did not start a new religion, but rather he completed the final one. And I want to end on a point where the Prophet Muhammad beautifully explained his prophethood, where he said that all of the prophets were like bricks in a building, but there is a beautiful building with one brick at the top which will complete this beautiful structure. And he described it as being all these bricks were the prophets, and the final brick to end and complete this building, he was the final brick, he was the missing link. And with that, I thank you again for watching the show here on Sharjah TV. I'm your host, Ismail Bullock, and until you see us again next week on another interesting show with, inshallah, Allah willing, another exciting guest, I leave you as usual with the greetings of Islam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.